Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Nevada Church case at the Supreme Court is not a final decision on the merits. We're going to be talking about this issue on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, the media never seems to get anything right. The media wants you to believe that the Supreme Court has already decided the issue regarding churches and these restrictions imposed by these governors all over the country, including the most recent one, Holly, involving a Nevada church. This was Calvary Chapel in Nevada, and it simply wanted to be able to have about 90 people meet in its sanctuary, which was about 50% of its occupancy capability. They are limited in Nevada to 50 people, no matter the size of the building. But the casinos and the restaurants and the bars and the gyms, they can have 50%. It's a big difference. 50% of the occupancy versus only 50 people maximum in a church. So the casinos, in fact, in this particular case, there is a photograph of the casinos, they can be jam-packed with people. And so people around the different card tables, they're not social distancing. They're not 6 feet apart. They're packed with people. So they can have literally hundreds and hundreds of people there because these casinos are massive. They're very large, and they can accommodate a lot of people. 50% is a lot of people. That is what is being preferred in Nevada, but churches only 50 people. So the case went up to a federal court of appeals. The court of appeals did not rule in favor of the church. The case is not finalized, however, at the federal court of appeals. It's still in the process. I think that's something everybody needs to know. This is not a final decision, even in the lower courts. So the church asked the Supreme Court to jump into the case before it's even finalized below and issue an injunction while the case is still pending appeal. That is a completely different situation. That is an extraordinary one. And the bar that you have to clear is much higher for something like that than to actually win on the merits of a case. So the Supreme Court voted 5-4 with no opinion, just the word denied, to their request to have them interject now before the case is even finalized. 5-4, all the word is denied. So you have no idea what their reasoning was, meaning you have no precedent. Now, there are dissents to that. There are four people that say we should have ultimately intervened, but those are dissents. There's no majority opinion. So you can't cite this as precedent. It's not a final ruling. And the media always gets these things wrong. I know they're technical, but they have huge impact legally and on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely. You know, and I think in this case, these dissents were positive. You know, you had Alito, Thomas, Kavanaugh, all agree the Constitution guarantees the free exercise of religion. In Alito, he wrote, "It says nothing about the freedom to play craps or blackjack, to feed tokens into a slot machine, or to engage in any other game of chance. A public health emergency does not give governors and other public officials carte blanche to disregard the Constitution for as long as the medical problem persists." I think that was a really good dissent on his part.
Yeah, it really was. And Gorsuch also wrote a separate dissent as well, thinking that the court should have intervened here. He says, "This is a simple case. Under the governor's edict, a 10-screen multiplex may host 500 moviegoers at any time. In Nevada, it seems it is better to be in the entertainment than religion. Maybe this is nothing new, but the First Amendment prohibits such obvious discrimination against the exercise of religion. The world we inhabit today," he says, "with a pandemic upon us, poses unusual challenges. But there is no world in which the Constitution permits Nevada to favor Caesar's Palace over Calvary Chapel."
Amen.
So, you know, the facts of the case were quite egregious. But the case is still ongoing. In fact, amazingly, the governor has taken the position that the reason why they discriminate between casinos, for example, in churches and these other businesses like gyms and restaurants and bars is because those are economic drivers of the state.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty.
They bring in money for the state.
That's a given, yeah.
But churches, you're not like that. And so we're going to discriminate on the basis of the fact that they give us more economic benefit than you do. I mean, that's just unbelievable. Then to the issue of the protest, because again, the governor here, like the governor in all the other states that we represent where we litigate in five other states and in many other states where we're working, the governors that restrict churches encourage protest.
Right.
So here the governor of Nevada encourages mass protest. To that discrimination, the governor says, well, and this is true, this is what they actually put in their pleadings, the fact that we discriminate is because the protest present a very important viewpoint that needs to be heard, but churches don't. So unbelievable. The facts are egregious. They acknowledge that they discriminate in favor of casinos because of the economic benefit they receive from casinos and other businesses. They acknowledge that they allow thousands, tens of thousands of people to gather in protest, but not churches, because they support the viewpoint of these protesters, and it's very important for them.
But yet he extended the phase two restrictions, quote, due to the trends in COVID-19 infection rates, the time needed for expanded contact tracing to identify trends, and to see the impacts of the governor's new face covering directive. But yet you can go protest, or you can go with hundreds of other people in a casino and shoot craps, but you can't go to church.
Right, and they don't have to do the face coverings.
Right.
And in fact, if you look at the protest, many don't have face coverings, and none are social distance apart. None of them are socially distanced. And yet the governor doesn't say anything to the contrary, doesn't say stop doing that. In fact, he says keep it up.
And casinos, you're very close. I mean, you're working tables or whatever they do in there, you're close.
Yeah, you've got the person right behind
right.
The table. You've got all the people around the table.
You're not even that close in a church.
No, in many cases, you're not. I mean, all of these people are that close because you got that semicircle kind of table mm-hmm. there. And other kinds of games or boards or, you know, tables that they have, you're around the table.
And touching the cards and all the chips or whatever they
And they're walking,
they work
you know,
with. Yeah.
all the way through. It's like a jam-packed lobby, for
right,
example.
Right, exactly.
And that's fine in Nevada. The problem is that's really unconstitutional. Here's the problem, though. As bad as the facts are in this case, this is not a final decision from the Supreme Court. It has no precedent. It's like when the Supreme Court is asked to review a case. It's called a petition for certiorari, or a petition for cert, for short. And the Supreme Court is asked about 8,000 to 10,000 times every term to review a particular case, 8,000 to 10,000 cases or so. Maybe that number is even higher now. But they only accept about 1%, meaning that they deny 99% of the cases. Now, just because they don't accept a case doesn't mean that it has any precedential value at the Supreme Court level, because oftentimes we've seen that they don't accept a case, and then maybe a year, two, 3 years down the road, they'll accept a case that's almost identical on the facts and the law to the one that they didn't accept a few years before. And they may then at that point rule favorably to that particular issue. So when they don't accept a case, it doesn't have any precedential value. They just say denied. Denied. Now, sometimes there are people that dissent and they say, no, we should have accepted this case for review. It doesn't matter. There's no precedent. You can't cite it as precedent because it just says the word denied. Same thing in this particular case. This is a petition. It's an extraordinary request. Very unusual. It happens in rare situations where the court will intervene while a case is still pending because they're actually giving their opinion to the lower court before the lower court finishes its decision on the matter. So it just simply said denied. No opinion. So these cases will still go on. Although this wasn't our case, these kinds of things get thrown up by the media to say, oh, well, the Supreme Court's already decided the matter. No, it hasn't. So we're still litigating in California, in Virginia, Kentucky, Maine, and Illinois. And one of our cases could likely go to the U.S. Supreme Court for a final decision. Continue to pray for our cases. Visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. Call us at 407-875-1776. lc.org.